Free Radio Santa Cruz 101.1 FM, www.freakradio.org. This is Teachers for Class War, and we have Kristen Ricker on the phone from Narco News. Kristen, welcome to Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Thanks for having me.
Wonderful. We've been reading a little bit from Narco News and as well from your blog, My Word is My Weapon. And if you could just start by giving, you've been able to give like up to the hour blog posts here. If you could give us what's going on at this very moment down in Honduras.
Well, right now it's hard to tell what's going on the ground in Honduras, because today there was an immense crackdown on media, both corporate international media and independent media. Yesterday, as soon as the coup happened, the electricity was cut in Tegucigalpa, the capital, and it was also cut in regions all over the country, and my understanding was that there were rolling blackouts all over the country. This served to shut down communication in Honduras to a certain extent. Then the coup leaders, the military, took over pro-Zelaya, or at the very least anti-coup, radio stations. They shut them down. There's been raids all day today on radio stations, military raids. They're using tear gas. They're beating people, and they're raiding the neighborhoods around these stations, such as Channel 36. They were raided by the military, and then the military went door-to-door going into houses and beating people. In terms of the international media, CNN has, they're blocking it both coming into the country and going out. CNN, Telesur, Cuba Visión Internacional, and other international news stations have been banned from broadcasting on cable networks in Honduras as of today, and we've got it confirmed that they are, their signals are blocked on cable networks. And on top of that, Televisa had a live feed from in front of the presidential palace, which is where most of the protests are concentrated today. There's thousands, or at least there were the last time we had an update, there were thousands of people in front of the presidential palace. The protests yesterday in front of the palace were peaceful, and today in the morning they were also peaceful, but the military and the police began to repress the protests around midday today. They started using rubber bullets. They started using tear gas, water cannons mixed with an unknown chemical, and dye, which marks protesters so that when they try to leave the area, they can be snatched. So that all started today around midday, and Telesur was on a rooftop with AP reporters reporting from that, transmitting a live video feed of the repression. You could see police beating people, you could see them detaining people, and you could see them using chemical weapons and other riot control devices like rubber bullets against them. The military got onto the rooftop where Telesur was recording was taping from, and they arrested their team along with the AP reporters. They've since been released, and they're still in Honduras. But their live feed hasn't been reestablished. The area where they were directly above where there were confrontations in the street, and so it's likely that they were unable to get back to where they were because of the unstable situation on the ground. So at this point, we have no idea what's going on the ground, although some people continue to be in touch with Telesur by cell phone, which at this point is the only way anybody can communicate and file reports from Honduras because of intermittent electricity outages and because of the crackdown on communication. And the cell phone networks are extremely strained from, you know, everybody relying on them, that even the cell phone networks often don't work.
Mm-hmm.
But what we do know is there are various people that are injured. There's people with broken bones. One man was gravely injured when he was run over by a truck that was driven by the military. There's rumors that he has died, but that has not been confirmed. But we do know that his injuries are very grave. There's a video of him being run over on YouTube, and he was bleeding very profusely when he was run over. He was a union worker who was participating in the national strike that occurred today.
Has the police murder of Cesar Jampeña been confirmed yet?
Pardon?
Has the police murder of Cesar Jampeña been confirmed?
It looks as though he is actually alive.
Okay.
He was originally reported dead, and we at Narco News had reported him. We'd reported that Notimex had, it's a news agency in Mexico, had confirmed through police sources that he had died. But it looks as though those reports were incorrect. And so at this point, it looks like, according to an interview with someone from his party, mm-hmm. he is alive and in hiding.
Okay.
He was apparently warned that there were soldiers coming to his house, and he managed to escape. That's at least the very least the latest from his party. But again, it's very hard because of the extreme difficulty in communicating with folks on the ground in Honduras to
Absolutely.
Really understand what's going on.
But the
biggest development that has just occurred is that SICA, which is the Central American Integration System, it's a regional coordinating body of Central American nations, has decided to close its borders with Honduras for 48 hours, which means that land borders between El Salvador, Nicaragua,
Guatemala
will be closed with Honduras, so they'll be shutting down all land trade because those are the only borders that Honduras has. And the Central American Development Bank is going to be indefinitely suspending all of its loans and grants to Honduras, which is particularly strong hit on Honduras, it being the poorest economy in Central America. It looks as though that's going to be a big strain on them. They've had a lot of infrastructure development programs going on through that bank, including renovating the biggest port in Central America, which is in Honduras. And so it looks as though all of that's going to be put on hold right now. And at this point, all of the Central American nations are also meeting with their respective ambassadors to decide how to move forward and whether or not they will withdraw their diplomats from the country and cut off diplomatic ties. Some of them, such as El Salvador, said they're not going to do that or they have no plans to do that at this point. But other nations, such as ALBA member nations, that is, nations that are a member of the Bolivarian Alliance of the Americas, have decided to withdraw their diplomats, and they've cut off diplomatic relations with the coup government.
And others are going to be a challenge to remove, as some of the ambassadors have actually been arrested. Is that the case?
Some of the ambassadors were briefly detained. The Nicaraguan, Venezuelan, and the Cuban ambassador were with Foreign Relations Secretary Patricia Rodas when she was violently detained by the military, and so they were briefly detained along with her. They were beaten during their detention, and then they were released. In the Venezuelan ambassador's case, he was left on the side of a road. So they've been released so far. I do not know of any foreign diplomats who are under arrest in Honduras, but yes, they have withdrawn their diplomats for the time being.
And so the politicians have mobilized. There's been saber rattling in terms of other militaries mobilizing, and the first acts of the coup government have been actually familiar. It's kind of a page from the Venezuela coup plotters' notebook, beginning with restrictions, obviously on protest with a curfew.
Mm-hmm.
But what else are they doing to establish themselves as the international community refuses to recognize them? What are the coup plotters and what is this government doing to try to establish its so-called legitimacy?
Well, it has it's sworn in a whole new government. There's a whole new cabinet now. All of the old cabinet members are either in hiding or they've been arrested. And also, Cesar Chem's party, the only leftist party that's registered in Honduras, the Democratic Unification Party, all of their members are either in hiding or have been detained, and so they're actually being blocked from Congress. So there's a lot of reports coming out about how You know, Congress unanimously accepted this fake resignation letter that was supposedly signed by Zelaya, but obviously wasn't. Then there's reports that they unanimously approved Micheletti as the new president. And, you know, one thing to keep in mind that's not being reported in these reports is that the leftist party that was, that at the very least its leader very much supported Zelaya, all of them have been detained and they've been prevented from participating in this. But other than that, other than posturing within their own warped concept of legality, the government's not really doing a lot. The coup government's not really doing a lot to establish itself. This has got to be one of the worst poorly carried out coups that have happened in recent history. It's quite impressive, the brazenness with which the government is acting in the face of complete international recognition. I don't know of a single country that has recognized that man as the president of Honduras, including the United States, which, you know, I think when the United States doesn't recognize your coup
in Latin America,
that's a really bad sign.
I'm amazed at how much, despite the rolling blackouts, clampdowns, and brazen arrests of, you know, corporate media even, I'm amazed at how much information is getting out, looking around online. Obviously, it's difficult to find out what's going on right now on the ground, but there's a lot of information out there, and I have to agree, seeing as best as we can what's going on from the computer screen here, which is obviously limiting, this seems like a bumbling a doomed to fail coup attempt here. So what possible outcomes do we see as people are out in the streets and there's international pressure? I understand that there's Zelaya is going to address the UN in the morning. There's this meeting in Nicaragua with the other nations' presidents to you know, work up a diplomatic solution. What are some of the possibilities that you see or that you've heard coming out of Honduras? What's going to happen in the next few days?
Well, at this point, you know, no one really knows what's going to happen, but it looks as though the tide is turning, or has been from the very beginning, turning against the coup government. It has no international support. It's starting to receive economic sanctions now. Chavez is going to call a meeting with Petrocaribe to discuss cutting off oil exports to Honduras. And on top of that, they made an incredibly stupid decision to leave the president alive in a country that was going to support him, and that was Costa Rica. And then they left the chancellor alive in Mexico. And so both of those people were flown by third-party countries to Nicaragua for a meeting, and now they're rallying the entire international community around them. I don't want to jinx Zelaya or the Honduran people, but I find it entirely unlikely that this coup is going to last. It just does not seem possible with the entire world against them.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see how long it takes for Zelaya to come back to power, and for the situation to return to normal. But in the meantime, the situation on the ground in Honduras seems to be incredibly ugly.
Yeah. We've to a certain extent danced around the U.S. response. There was a statement by the Obama administration that is a bit of a change. As we joked, the U.S. seems to have never seen a Latin American coup it didn't like. But in this case, there's something different. What's happening with regards to Washington's response?
Yeah, this was, I think, shocking to everybody. The Obama immediately came out saying he was deeply concerned with what was going on in Honduras with the coup. And then Hillary Clinton came out condemning the coup and saying that it was not constitutional and that all countries in the Organization of American States should condemn it. And then the ambassador to Honduras, Ambassador Llorens, he said that the United States only recognizes Celaya as the president. And then when reporters asked him about the Supreme Court's decision that he'd been acting unlawfully, which is also a point up for discussion about whether his actions were unlawful or not. Lawrence responded, well, you know, this is not how you resolve those sort of things. This is simply unacceptable behavior to arrest the president, with the military at gunpoint and take him away from the country. And then Hillary Clinton, while she's still not officially declared a coup in Honduras, she did say today to the press that it certainly seems as though, it certainly appears to be a coup. This is a huge surprise, but frankly, I mean, the international community, in Latin America at the very least, responded very quickly and very forcefully. In the United States, I don't think really had any other choice but to also condemn the coup. I mean, even the Organization of American States is condemning the coup. It's unanimously condemned the coup, and is now discussing what sort of steps it'll take to put pressure on the coup government. The Organization of American States was set up by the United States to counter socialist and communist forces in Latin America, and now they're siding with an ALBA country, with a country from the Bolivarian Alliance. So, yeah, we're seeing a huge change in the United States relations with Latin America with this coup, and it seems to be a very good thing. And I know there's been a lot of complaining that the Obama administration hasn't done more, but frankly, at this point, I mean, they should declare this a coup legally, and they should consider cutting off economic aid to Honduras, because if it's a coup situation, then they are required to cut off aid to Honduras. But in terms of doing more than that, I mean, the United States, I think, for once, needs to let Latin America resolve its own problems, because I think any sort of further U.S. involvement could potentially be a bad thing. I mean, we all remember the coup in Haiti, and while Clinton was instrumental in bringing Aristide back to power, that came at a severe cost to Haiti.
With strings attached.
Condition of returning to power, was forced to basically sign over the entire country to the IMF and the World Bank, and this is not something that we want for Honduras, and it's not something anybody wants for Honduras. And so I think the way things are going now, with the United States condemning the coup, recognizing Zelaya as the only president of Honduras, is what the United States needs to be doing. And I think it's wonderful that Latin American nations such as ALBA and SICA and other regional groupings of Latin American nations are doing what they can to stop this coup.
Well, and without overstating the role, the positive role that the U.S. could or would or is taking, the history and the past, we know that this general is a School of the Americas graduate, and that the U.S. in the past has been directly involved in military coups in Central America in general, but in Honduras specifically.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little bit about why, perhaps why the U.S. has a bit of a tenuous approach, or I don't know, it's kind of an echo of what's happening on the other side of the globe in Iran, where there's a hands-off approach officially, largely because of the perception that's well-founded because of history that U.S. meddling has had negative effects that are still fresh in folks' memory.
I mean, the U.S.'s official position regarding this coup, I don't think rules out, or in any way negates any sort of negative role that the U.S. might have played in this coup, because, we all know that the CIA doesn't always get approval before it undertakes operations. We also know that through the National Endowment for Democracy and other sort of USAID programs like that, the United States is constantly funding opposition forces in Latin American countries, in countries all over the world, specifically those in countries that have more leftist leanings. Documents, recently declassified documents, came out a month or two ago about the United States funding these sort of opposition groups in Bolivia, for example. They're funding what they call regional autonomy projects, which, you know, sounds fabulous for you know, those of us who support, you know, especially indigenous autonomy and regional autonomy. But in the Bolivian context, what we're talking about are right-wing separatists who are trying to destabilize the Bolivian government of Evo Morales. In Honduras, we do know that the United States has been giving this sort of aid to opposition groups over the past couple of years, specifically to an organization that is mobilized in support of the coup government. That is called, there's one called Peace and Democracy, and there's another one that's called the Democratic Civil Union. Those organizations receive United States funding, and they are anti-Zelaya organizations, and they've taken to the streets to celebrate the coup. They're mostly led by conservative forces, conservative politicians, and business leaders. The negative United States role, along with just the legacy, its legacy in Latin America, has certainly played a role in this coup. That definitely cannot be ignored. And as you said, with the training of the School of the Americas and other training programs that the United States has for training not only Central American military officials and soldiers in its military training schools, but also training police in its international law enforcement academies, which is like the School of the Americas for police. The U.S. presence is very omnipresent in Honduras, and certainly can't be denied. And it's something that, you know, once Zelaya returns to power, and once the dust starts to settle from this coup, it's something that I know at Narco News we're going to be investigating more thoroughly to see, for example, what sort of policies need to change that this sort of thing doesn't happen again.
And in addition, you and other reporters have been sounding the alarm there was a coup build up. Your headline from Thursday's article was coup fears in Honduras last week. You know, with the run up to this referendum, it's not as if this is a total and complete surprise. What perhaps could have been done differently, or could this involvement have been more timely in terms of all of this this outcry? What could have prevented this from taking place, or what kind of intervention could have kept what is appearing to be a violent military takeover of a civil society from happening?
That's difficult to tell. It's always said that the United States can make one magical phone call and make a coup happen or not happen. And it's unclear if that phone call happened, and it's unclear if it would have made any difference, because, you know, as I said before, this has got to be one of the most poorly planned coups that I've seen. And it's not clear that the people carrying out this coup would have stopped anything short of a military intervention, which wouldn't have been positive for anybody. I think that the response has actually been, it has been quite, it was immediate. As soon as it became apparent that the military had hit the streets, as soon as it became apparent that Romeo Orlando Velasquez, the head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff in Honduras, refused to step down from his position after he was fired by Zelaya, it became apparent that there was a coup in the works. While we did report on that at Narco News, I think, you know, when we woke up on Sunday morning and found that the coup had actually happened, I think we were all a little bit shocked, precisely because of the international pressure that had occurred.
So the fact that people were sounding the alarm was hopefully a preventative measure.
It might have been what kept Zelaya alive, and it might be what why he's in Nicaragua right now instead of, you know, Aristide was shipped off to the Central African Republic and couldn't talk to anybody when the coup happened against him in Haiti. So, you know, that could have been, it could have been very decisive because, yeah, Vía Campesina and other civil society organizations in Honduras put out communiques pretty much immediately saying that they were very concerned that a coup was going to happen in Honduras. The president immediately started giving interviews saying he was concerned about a coup. In the international community, I mean, both in terms of civil society, but also governments immediately started condemning any rumblings of a coup. The head of the OAS put out a statement saying that condemning the what he called an attempted coup, which happened prior to Sunday's actual coup, and as a lot of other international organizations and individual governments. And so and one thing that I have been hearing from Honduran media that has been able to transmit, that is not the right-wing media. The right-wing media in Honduras is still fully operational and functioning as normal. But the radios that are now operating from clandestine locations and other communications that are coming out of Honduras, they've been very thankful for the immediate international response. I'm not sure that that anything more could have possibly been done prior to the coup, and frankly, all that had been done, Zelaya has expressed even his surprise at being woken up at 5-something in the morning on Sunday, you know, having soldiers point guns at his face and telling him that they were going to kill him. He was even surprised by that. He had really thought, I think, on Saturday night that things were calming down, and I don't even think he expected this.
Well, the ticker at the top of AlJazeera.net says that ousted President Zelaya says he will be traveling back to Honduras, but it gives no further details. Your last update just a couple hours ago mentioned Channel 36. You mentioned that at the beginning of the interview, that the military had arrived there and was raiding the station. Is Channel 36 television? Is this radio?
Television
station, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So is the phenomena happening where there's a news report going on that's interrupted, that's cut off?
Yeah, that's happened. That's happened a lot. All of the government stations, the government television stations were taken over. Their transmissions were interrupted. Channel 8 was broadcasting about the coup, and then the last transmission that they put out said, you know, we think the soldiers are coming. And then transmission was cut off, and it still has not resumed. All of the state government television stations are now under the coup leader's control. And that's been the case for radios. Radio Globo has filed a complaint or written a letter to the Inter-American Commission on Human Rights complaining about the raid on their station. Soldiers burst into their station and beat their employees. One of their employees has broken ribs and a broken arm from the beating that he received. And they grabbed a worker who is a minor. He, you know, he's under 18 years of age. They grabbed him, called him racial slurs, referring to black people, and told him, well, they said a lot of things I can't repeat on the radio, but they told him that they would kill him if he didn't tell them where they were transmitting from, because at that point I think they had already either moved their location or had set up a mirror, and so the raid temporarily disabled them, but they're back on the air now. And so, yeah, it's been very violent and very scary, and Radio Globo lives is operating in constant fear that the soldiers will find where they're transmitting from and will come and raid them too. And when other medias do get raided, they call Radio Globo and they call other radios and let them know that they're being raided. So it's an ugly situation right now in Honduras, as I said.
Well, the host of this show, myself, and and that this show in particular will be posted to Indie Media, to Indie Bay. Mm-hmm. The independent media, the Indie Media site for Honduras is hosted by Chiapas Indie Media, and it is still up and available. There's some audio getting out. Folks are able to post to that. But again, just the question of access to the internet, access to electricity even is challenging. So any news and information that's getting out there is getting out despite some pretty incredible repression.
And also getting out despite the fact that Honduras is the poorest country in Central America. Its infrastructure was never adequately developed to start with, and so it already had significant barriers in terms of international communication, and now that's just been made so much worse by the repression. But I do hope that you encourage your listeners to be protesting outside of the Honduran consulate, their closest Honduran consulate, as much as they can. They should be out there every day until this is over because the video that I've been able to watch from Telesur and from other media, and then also just YouTube, people uploading cell phone videos and other sorts of videos to YouTube. The repression is horrible, and the complete disregard for human life is horrible. These are peaceful, nonviolent, unarmed protesters, and they're being repressed brutally. And as the campaign against media that's not sympathetic to the coup government continues, it may get harder and harder to get good information about what's going on in Honduras. We're already talking about a long list of people who are suspected to have been detained or disappeared. There's a lot of injuries, possibly one death. It's of a man who was run over. Again, that's not confirmed. Mm-hmm. And it's just going to get worse. And so this really needs to be brought to an end as soon as possible. And it's become obvious the only way that's going to happen is through international pressure, which, you know, the international pressure that's been happening right now is good, but more needs to happen. I've been seeing on news feeds, on Honduran media sites, even some of those who are, you know, more conservative, they have been posting about protests in front of the Salvadoran embassy, in front of the Spanish embassy. So these protests are being noticed, and they need to be kept up.
Well, we'll give that information in just a moment. It's going to be in San Francisco, probably right next to the Peruvian one we were at last week. And so before you go, if you could just mention a little bit about the site you published to, Narco News, and how updates and information is getting out, and what Narco News is doing to build contacts and contacts and get information directly from the citizens of Honduras.
Well, at Narco News, we've been trying to post the most up-to-the-minute information and correct information that we can, because I know I personally, I didn't speak Spanish in 2002 when the coup in Venezuela happened, and I remember being completely in the dark as to what was going on there because no one was reporting from, you know, any sort of information that outside of the mainstream media, which was completely in the pocket of the coup leaders. And so, you know, we're definitely trying to make sure that situation is not repeated in this coup. And it looks like we're being successful in that. We've been monitoring. Also, we've been in contact with Chiapas Indie Media, who has contacts on the ground in Honduras, but it's been extraordinarily difficult to communicate with those contacts on the ground, both because they've been busy resisting the coup government and also because cell phone, the only form of communication, which is cell phone, has been very intermittent, and service is constantly interrupted. We've been monitoring the international media that has been on the ground there. We've been monitoring the international meetings, the Organization of American States meeting on the coup, the ALBA meeting, the SICA meeting. We've been monitoring pretty much everything that we can. We've got several people working around the clock to bring all of the most up-to-date information. And so that's what we're trying to do, is make sure that everyone has the information that they need to resist this horrible travesty. that's going on in Honduras right now.
Well, on that very note, I'll let us both get back to it.
Wonderful.
I appreciate your work for Narco News on the what's going on right now, as well as your reporting from Mexico in particular over the last few years. It's been an incredible source of information, and as you said, writing that is difficult to come by at times, whether you read Spanish or not, being able to find information that isn't reported in the corporate press is a challenge, and it's refreshing to read Narco News and to read your pieces in particular. So thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me, and keep up the good work, and keep up the fight over there in the United States, because, you know, those of us who are living in Latin America, we certainly do need it.
Absolutely. Thank you again for your time, and have a great evening. Yeah.
Bye-bye.
All right, thanks. Free Radio 101.1 FM. You can read Kristen's work at mywordismyweapon.blogspot. And at narconews.com. Stay tuned, freakradio.org. Mentioned that Indie Media Chiapas was hosting Honduras's Indie Media. Again, that question that Kristen brought up of access and barriers to technology, etc. Honduras is a page on the Chiapas Indie Media site, the way Santa Cruz is a page on the IndieBay site, there's more audio, more information on there, coming up every minute here. So I'm going to play some more of that, and encourage folks to check it out at chiapas.indiemedia.org. There is obviously a donate page as well to help with the costs of this kind of thing, getting this information out. But for the moment, let's go back to another site here. Continuing to update on Honduras. This is Teachers for Class War on Free Radio Santa Cruz 101.1 FM, and we're reporting live.
Honduran security forces have clashed with protesters outside the country's presidential palace. At least 15 people have been injured. Demonstrators have been calling for the return of President Manuel Zelaya, a day after he was ousted by the country's military. The military also appears to be tightening its grip on the media. Al Jazeera's team has reported seeing soldiers remove journalists from their hotels in the capital city. And Central American leaders meeting in Nicaragua have agreed to take concrete actions against Honduras.
Sorry about that. That one got cut off. Let's try a different one.
Y vamos a interrumpir para hacer probablemente algunos comentarios. Adelante.
Sí, bueno, simplemente buenos días. Mi nombre es Tomás Antigua Castilla, soy hondureño.
diputado al Congreso Nacional por el Partido de Liberación Democrática en el departamento de Francisco Morazán.
Necesitamos que hable un poco más fuerte, Tomás.
Sí, repito, mi nombre es Tomás Andino Mencía, soy de oposición, diputado al Congreso Nacional por el Partido Unificación Democrática en el departamento de Francisco Morazán. En este momento, pues, quiero denunciar ante la opinión pública internacional que en nuestro país, en Honduras, se ha producido el día de ayer un golpe de Estado por parte de sectores militares, por parte de las Fuerzas Armadas en su conjunto, y también de sectores políticos tradicionales y conservadores que han quitado del poder al presidente constitucional José Manuel Zelaya, electo en elecciones democráticas hace 3 años, y ha sido sustituido por que fue presidente del Congreso Nacional, el señor Roberto Micheletti Bahín. El golpe de Estado, porque solo se le puede calificar de esa manera, está calificado en nuestra constitución política como una usurpación de poder que se constituyó de manera ilegal.
Frente a los acontecimientos que se han dado en el día de hoy en Honduras, FRENADESO, el Frente Nacional por los Derechos Económicos y Sociales del país de Panamá, hace el siguiente pronunciamiento. Se han cumplido los peores augurios. El presidente constitucional de Honduras, Manuel Zelaya, ha sido secuestrado, amenazado de muerte y trasladado en un avión a Costa Rica por parte de un grupo de militares. El presidente fue sacado a la fuerza de su casa y apuntado con sus armas al pecho y a la cabeza por sus secuestradores encapuchados. El representante de Venezuela ante la OEA ha denunciado que la canciller hondureña Patricia Rojas, junto a los embajadores de Cuba, Venezuela y Nicaragua, entre otros, han sido secuestrados y golpeados por sus secuestradores encapuchados. Hoy debió celebrarse una consulta popular donde el pueblo debía simplemente opinar si aceptaban o no una cuarta urna en los próximos comicios electorales para decidir si se sometía a consideración una asamblea constituyente. La oligarquía y los militares gorilas lo han impedido, aunque en la mañana se desarrollaba esta consulta en algunos municipios. Miles de personas han salido a las calles para exigir el regreso de su presidente legítimo, Manuel Zelaya, quien negó haber pedido asilo político en Costa Rica y dijo estar allí como presidente constitucional de Honduras. El Movimiento Social Popular Hondureño prepara desde mañana una huelga general por el retorno de su presidente. Diversos gobiernos de todo el orbe han condenado este golpe de Estado. Se teme un derramamiento de sangre. Recordemos que el presidente Zelaya había confirmado su asistencia a Panamá este 1 de julio con motivo de la toma de posesión de Ricardo Martinelli. FRENADESO condena este golpe gorila y la intención de algunos medios de comunicación locales e internacionales de justificar esta acción golpista. Con ello se desenmascaran y demuestra hasta dónde llega la vocación democrática de los propietarios de estos medios que en su identificación con las posiciones más reaccionarias y fascistoides son capaces de apoyar a los militares gorilas. No le perdonan a Zelaya ser parte de la Alternativa Bolivariana para las Américas, ALBA. Su acercamiento al movimiento social hondureño y haberle dado la oportunidad al pueblo hondureño de ser protagonista de su propia historia. FRENADESO llama a los gobiernos saliente y entrante de Panamá a condenar este golpe de Estado en Honduras y a desconocer cualquier gobierno que surja de esta traición al pueblo hondureño. Solo puede reconocerse al gobierno constitucional de Honduras. Seguiremos de cerca los acontecimientos. La concentración convocada para el día de mañana, lunes 29 a las 4 de la tarde en el Parque Catedral, se desarrollará tal cual lo programado. incorporándole esta demanda de que no se reconozca otro gobierno en Honduras que no sea el presidido por su presidente constitucional, Manuel Zelaya. Junto a otros sectores estaremos preparando otras acciones de solidaridad, tal cual lo hicimos el pasado viernes 26 frente a la Embajada de Honduras. Alto al golpe de Estado de la oligarquía y el gorilato. Solo puede reconocerse al gobierno del presidente Manuel Zelaya. Sin luchas no hay victorias. Panamá, 28 de junio de 2009. Frenadeso, Frente Nacional por la Defensa de los Derechos Económicos y Sociales en Panamá.
¡Abajo la oligarquía hondureña!
¡Abajo!
¡Abajo la oligarquía hondureña!
¡Abajo!
Free Radio Santa Cruz. So I'm working on getting somebody on the phone who was in San Francisco earlier today. Answer Coalition and the FMLN of Northern California held the protest at the consulate on Market at 5. So just a little chunk ago. Looks like it may still be ongoing. Trying to get more information about that for you, so stay tuned. Tenemos por teléfono un manifestante que estaba ahí en San Francisco, fuera del consulado. Bienvenidos al aire en Santa Cruz, Califas. Bienvenido al aire aquí en freakradio.org.
Buenas tardes, mi nombre es Julio, nosotros somos con el Partido Socialista de Liberación. Fuimos allá al consulado de Honduras, aquí en San Francisco, para protestar de lo que está pasando ahí en Honduras, ¿ves? De que otra vez, como ya los Estados Unidos tienen un historial, ¿no? De que siempre han hecho eso. De que, pues, esta vez en Honduras fue un señor que fue electo, entre comillas, ¿no?, democráticamente a la presidencia, y luego por estar haciendo ciertas reformas que está beneficiando a los pobres, ¿verdad?, en Honduras, al sector trabajador, pues le hicieron esto, desde que le hicieron este golpe de Estado, que lo exiliaron para Costa Rica, ¿ve? Pues sabiendo nosotros de que los Estados Unidos tiene historial de eso y que por lo regular la CIA está involucrada en todo esto, ¿eh? Fuimos a protestar y hacerle saber al mundo entero, ¿eh?, de que pues un gobierno, como le digo, democráticamente electo, le vuelven a hacer esto a los Estados Unidos. Llegó bastante gente, yo creo que más de 100 personas, de diferentes organizaciones, y mucha gente, creo.
Muy bien. ¿Y pues cómo fue? ¿Qué pasó?
Creo que ayer fue, ¿no?, de que pues entró, llegaron los militares, sacaron a este señor de su casa, lo metieron en una patrulla, lo llevaron para el aeropuerto militar de Honduras y lo fueron a dejar allá a Costa Rica con su familia.
Pero hoy en día por la tarde en San Francisco había una manifestación.
Tuvimos una protesta, un rally ahí en el consulado hondureño, aquí en el edificio Comama, en el Flat Building, que es en la Power y la Market. El miércoles creo que va a ser otra demostración. De eso no estoy muy seguro a qué hora va a ser, pero nosotros le vamos a hacer saber por medio de esta radio o de cualquier otra radio también, estación de radio, para que la gente esté está en comunicación, ¿ve?, de lo que está pasando en Latinoamérica.
Claro que sí, estamos dando toda la información que podemos provenir ahí por internet, por la radio, por cualquier parte, pero...
Sí, por medio de la estación de radio, de esta estación de radio pueden obtener más información, ¿no?, de las marchas que se están llevando a cabo.
¿Qué demandas tienen? Pues... Mira. ¿Qué demandas tienen las organizaciones civiles o el grupo que está ahí en manifestar? ¿Qué demandas tienen ustedes para el consulado o para el público que está pasando?
No, solo nomás estamos llevando a cabo estas protestas y los rallies, pues para que la gente llegue, pues vea, a apoyar al pueblo hondureño del problema que está pasando ahorita.
Porque es una cosa en que hay mucho hondureño aquí en
claro,
La Bahía, en California. Y qué pasa con sus familiares, que entiendo yo que es difícil a tener una comunicación con la gente ahí en Honduras.
Lo que está pasando ahorita es de que han cortado hasta los celulares, muchos celulares, hay sectores en Honduras donde el celular no está funcionando, han cortado la comunicación con la gente allá. La televisión nomás están, ahí en Honduras nomás están pasando partidos de fútbol. partidos de fútbol diferidos, ¿ve? No están funcionando, ¿ve? Tienen a la gente incomunicada, ¿ve? Entonces ese es el problema, pues la gente está queriendo comunicarse con su familia ya y mucha gente no ha podido. Así que por eso nosotros vamos a seguir estas protestas y si la gente puede llamarle o escribirle al presidente Obama de que haga algo con este problema que tienen allá en Honduras, de él creo que habló ayer de eso y no mencionó nada de lo que está pasando allá, ¿ve? Así es que nosotros vamos a seguir protestando.
Muy bien. Entonces, más que informarnos, más que manifestar, ¿qué opciones tenemos más? ¿Cómo podemos apoyar al pueblo hondureño?
De llamar a la Casa Blanca a hablar se le llama al presidente o al representante de nosotros aquí en California, donde vivimos, de llamarles y decirles de que hablen con Obama, de que regrese el presidente de Honduras a su poder.
Pues gracias el tiempo y gracias por estar ahí por la calle hoy en día.
Ya sabe, cualquier cosa, para cualquiera que quiera más información de lo que está pasando, puede conectarse con nosotros, que somos el Partido Socialista por Liberación, y el website de nosotros es pslweb.org.
Muy bien, perfecto.
Okay,
gracias a usted. Ya,
diga.
Que tenga un buen día.
Bye, igual, gracias.
Bye. Radio Libre Santa Cruz, 101.1 FM.